This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's about you gotta put it in perspective.
Our radio program starts with a blast of Cali Ho-Horn.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
V.I.G.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my ass to the Walmart store. I'm gonna spend till I can't no more.
Yo, it's Muggos. Yeah, I'm back doing country trap. Fat is the new black, smoke tobacco 20 packs. Jimmy Dean is my main course, drink Budweiser for sport. Loving on my sister, having no remorse. Liberal pussies can't tell me nothing. They can't tell me nothing. This ain't fake news, baby, we ain't frontin'. No, we ain't frontin'.
We're not joking here, and your humor is not acceptable.
You've crossed the line. This is a line you guys are unaware of, but you have crossed it.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Good morning. Welcome to Poop Talk.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Why are you guys bullying me?
And now.
It sounds, I must admit, slightly revolting.
It does sound revolting. It sounds disgusting.
Our feature presentation.
Good morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Friday, the 21st of June.
What's up, summertime girls?
It's summer today, officially.
First day of summer. Uh-huh. A little tribute to the great LFO.
Okay.
I think all of whom or all but one of whom are dead, by the way.
Yeah, way to start the show.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, that's not the point. The point is it's summertime, and mm-hmm. I just
I'll take it.
Maybe a little summer shout out is all.
Sure. I mean, it's it's drizzling outside, but other than that,
it is weird.
It is weird.
It's not
the whole June has been weird.
It's not playing along with the calendar.
Southern California,
as I know
it's been very strange. But you're going to be so grateful for this in a month when it's 110.
Oh, trust me. I will take May gray and June gloom all damn day when it's 105 in a month. It's disgusting.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, we have so much show to get to. I want to start with something that is that piggybacks on what you may have just heard about 15 minutes ago about the American Truck Simulator.
Mm-hmm.
It's the video game that is sweeping the nation. If you weren't with us, Jensen brought it to us on Get Up On This, and you become a long-distance truck driver. Basically, it's in real time.
In real time is the important part.
Yes.
Yes. So if you wanted to drive from Los Angeles to San Francisco in the comfort of your own home, you could do it, and it would take you the 7 hours or whatever it takes to do it. It would be just like getting on the 5 and driving a truck and having to pull over and get gas and having to get your truck weighed along
the
way.
So I don't want to do that or look forward to that drive,
mm-hmm.
but you're saying that I can actually just do that while at home.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But still have to sit through 6 goddamn hours of traffic and everything else.
Correct.
That's great, right?
You get all the traffic without actually having to leave your house.
Sounds fun.
But the reason I bring all of this up is because the thing that blew my mind that I got excited about that you may have heard was that there's a radio station in the American Truck Simulator.
Yeah.
They have actual DJs on doing the traffic, playing records, just entertaining people just like we do on this show, okay? They have a radio station in American Truck Simulator.
I hope they entertain people a little more than we do
on
this show.
Well, I do too.
Do you hear the joy in his voice?
Oh, I do.
I'm
waiting for the announcement.
Yeah.
Because it's my next... What did I tell you when Jensen brought up yesterday? I said, this is the job... I mean, screw England.
Yeah.
This is the job I'm leaving for. Wherever they are, that's where I'm going, okay?
No, wait. It sounds like you don't already have a shift.
Well, I don't yet.
Well, what are you doing?
Here's why I'm bringing it up. As a result of us doing that segment yesterday and putting it up on the Kevin Bean social media, we heard from Truckers FM, which is the radio station in the game, all right? Truckers FM. Just had a listen. This is to Jensen. Just had a listen to your get up on this about the American Truck Simulator. We're happy to hear you found our radio station in game. You are welcome to have a special show on our in game station any day.
Bean. Did you get like a boner immediately, or did it take you a minute just to wrap your head around it?
He still does.
Yeah, it hasn't gone away. It is. Yeah, I'm
well
past. You
need to go to the doctor if it's still.
Right,
yeah.
I've seen that in a commercial.
If it's over 4 hours, right. Well, it's been 14 now, and it's.
Wow.
I mean, I could cut glass with it. My point is. My point is, this sounds to me like it's an open invitation for all of us. I think we all do the show, right?
I mean, I feel like I wouldn't want to take any of the excitement away from you. I want
but
you
I'm
to have the full
guys,
experience.
Yeah, we want you to shine.
Right.
But I want you guys to be on the air for 10 hours while there's a trucker trying to make it from, you know, from Fargo to a city in Michigan. Or wherever. Wherever he's going. I don't know where he's going. I haven't seen the manifest.
I mean, your shift is going to go great if that's any.
Sort of fell apart there about 10% in.
I feel like I shouldn't have been able to come up with any other city.
Anywhere.
Welcome to my life, Bean.
All you have to do
is call city states and you're fully me.
I just had to name one other city in America. I'm afraid I just got fired from Trucker FM.
They're not going to have you after that. I mean, you need to know your stuff.
Well, I can't blame them. I mean, I got to have some familiarity with the map if I'm going to do the
show.
Oh, I'm crying.
That was a fantastic start.
All right, so it sounds like you guys are in and y'all want to be part of the show.
Now I do.
As soon as it starts, just listen for our voices and we'll just chime right in.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. I see. So you want me to go and you'll meet me there.
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Well, I mean, it doesn't make sense for us to all get together and carpool or whatever.
Right.
So
Yeah,
we'll be there.
Okay, that makes
just
a lot of sense.
Just let us know what time your shift starts.
All right. So we're meeting in the city in Michigan then, right?
Yes, in that city.
That's where we're going. Okay. All right. Well, I want you to know I'm very excited.
Some would say too excited.
My post K-Rock plans are starting to come into sharper focus, and believe me, that gives me a great deal of relief.
All right. Bean couldn't think of a city.
In the United States, anyone.
Well,
single city.
I have no defense, but I backed myself into a corner when I said Fargo because in my mind I was trying to think. I just said 8 hours. Now what's 8 hours from Fargo?
I was trying
to think of a city that was 8 hours from Fargo.
It's really important that you get that detail straight.
We would have checked.
That's what screwed me up, though. I should have said like Toronto or something. If I had had another second, but I fell apart and I failed you, and I'm sorry.
You didn't fail us. You failed the truckers.
Yeah,
truckers.
You did.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
They're pulling off right now. Like, we don't even know where to go.
Right.
Michigan? Which one? Like, they're on their iPhones looking it up.
I got news for you. I'm pulling off right now. You know what I mean?
Oh.
Okay.
Wow, we were having fun.
Yeah, sure. We were right there until...
Once again, the bad man ruined it.
Bean's wet blanket.
Took so many turns.
All right, listen. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Clearly, we have it all documented. It's documented scientifically, not just words.
Oh, jeez.
Omar has a secret break.
Oh.
I don't like that.
It's never good.
It's never good for one of us. Mostly me, sometimes Bean. Rarely Allie.
Yeah.
Rarely.
I think... Because Omar's on the B team, whenever he says he has a secret break, I always think it's going to be some sort of embarrassing audio from our past.
Oh, tape of us doing the show?
Yeah.
Being horrible?
That's what I'm afraid of.
Yeah. That's all right. That's best case scenario.
Could be from this segment, in fact.
Remember, he's going to go, remember when Bean couldn't think of a city? Face blindness is a thing.
Yeah. Yes, it is a thing.
Okay.
Is it?
Yes, it is. Right. It's absolutely a thing.
Okay.
Meaning, if I see you and then I see you again 30 seconds later, I don't realize that I saw you 30 seconds earlier.
That's right.
Correct?
That's right. You don't recognize a person. Yeah. Including your own kids. You wouldn't recognize your kids. You'd come home today, your daughter would be at the house, and you'd go, you'd assume it was her because you knew she lives in the house, but you would not be able to identify her by looking at her face.
Chip's mom did that, but I don't know.
Dare! You.
You're right.
She has face blindness.
I'm cut deep. Yeah, she didn't abandon you, Chip. She just didn't know who you were.
She just didn't recognize you.
That's it.
It's a real thing.
Oh, this show is not good. It's so early.
Slang Man will be in studio. Or not.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. We're talking about rescheduling him for another time when our friend Jensen
okay.
is here.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
I got you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, we'd love Slang Man, but we'd hate, because Jensen's out today, we'd hate him to miss the opportunity to.
All right, no worries.
Okay.
No, let's keep talking about it.
Just filling Kevin in.
There's a 103-year-old runner that we're going to introduce you to. She started her running career at 100.
Bean.
I love her.
So, Bean. She's
going to be my running partner. I'll match her step for step.
I don't know, dude. We were talking yesterday to Dr. Drew, and you were very excited to have an out.
Yeah.
Like, running's not for you.
Right.
Because long term, it might hurt you and blah, blah, blah.
And she's how old? The important thing, 103.
Okay, so long term, it could hurt her, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
But now I've got a partner, though. Now I've got somebody who's my speed. So,
and she's going to be going, keep up. What's wrong with you?
I have decided that I want to run with her, and I'm going to call her in like 2 years and get started with that.
All right. When you're 100?
When she's 105.
Oh, right. Got it. Tony Hale.
Oh,
there it is.
Man.
In studio talking Toy Story 4.
He's Forky.
He's Forky. Then I'm going to have to leave for a half hour. And when I get back, we're going to do Keep It 100.
Nope. You're missing CatCon International.
Oh, I didn't see that because I have to leave for that half hour.
No, you'll
to
be
go
here.
To the place with the thing.
Next weekend, Pasadena Convention
Michigan?
Center.
In Michigan, that place in Michigan.
We look forward to it every year. It's all about cats. Kevin's favorite.
Yeah, she's loaded up with puns. She already sent me a message. Who? Can't wait.
Who hates puns more than me?
You.
Who hates cats more than me? Okay.
But this is a cat extravaganza, Kevin. It's a cat extravaganza.
Yeah, honestly.
It's Paradise City. Come on.
Stupid Alley sent this to me last night from CatCon Worldwide. Not lying to you. It's going to be positively hysterical tomorrow.
Hysterical, she said.
Mm-hmm.
For real. You wrote back.
No. She wrote for real.
That. And then you said, you ain't kitten. Looking forward to it.
Can't wait.
That's already too much for me.
That
and
is
she's not even here.
Ferocious, Allie. Seriously.
Thank you, Bean.
Seriously, I might not be here.
We'll see.
We'll chat.
It's going to be great.
I mean, I'll do my best, but I'm not in control. All right, we will take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
Hey, Allie.
Hey, Bean.
Ready for your run through what's happening?
I
get all
am.
The kinks out before we go on the air?
I am, and I would like to give you something.
Whoa.
Yeah, not you. Just a listener. Right now, you're going to get a pair of tickets to the Gabriel Iglesias Beyond Fluffy World Tour. Oh, yes. Tickets on sale now at AXS.com, but you have your choice. Do you want to see him December 27th at Staples Center? It's yours. Maybe Honda Center's more your thing. December 28th. Those tickets are yours. You get to choose. Let's take caller 10 right now, 1-800-520-1067, and you get that pair of tickets to the Gabriel Iglesias Beyond Fluffy World Tour.
It's comedy.
Yes, it is.
I feel like we're kind of avoiding saying something.
I know exactly what you're talking about, and I think you're right, and I think at some point we're going to need to kind of break the seal on that.
Yeah. I'll start.
Okay.
Holy Moly is my new favorite show.
Holy Moly!
It's so good.
Holy Moly!
Kevin,
did you
watch it?
No. Unfortunately, I had something else to do.
I didn't watch Holy Moly?
I didn't. I recorded it, Bean. I had something else to do.
More
important than Holy Moly?
Yes.
I don't think... now that sentence doesn't make any sense
to me. Okay, then no, because I didn't know how great it was. Explain,
Kevin,
please.
I'll tell you this.
Yes.
During the first 5 minutes, a woman has to run through the windmill. She has to time it. She has to get through where the little windmill little things turn. She gets knocked so hard by the windmill, she flies off the stage into tulips.
She might be concussed.
She might be concussed. Then she gets her wits about her-ish and goes for it again. It knocks her harder off the stage, and I howled when it happened the first time. The second time, you know when you're laughing so hard you almost puke?
Yep.
That's where I was.
Oh, the humanity of this!
I feel like just by that description, it's going to be my favorite show as well.
I will tell you this. Rob Riggle is hysterical on it. There are some asides that he says that are so funny.
He's one of the announcers.
One of the announcers.
He's kind of doing a Ron Burgundy, I think.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
But at one point, a woman is trying to putt, and you hear what seems to be an instrument you're not quite sure at first, and then walking into the screen, Kenny G, just playing his little saxophony thing, and he's trying to distract her.
Uh-oh. What is that sound? It is none other than Grammy Award winner Kenny G. Holy moly! Look at this! The sweet stylings of Kenny G in the face of Holly Fine.
I understand she's trying to make a putt to win the game, okay? And Kenny G comes out and just starts playing in her face.
Wait, Bean, you watched it and loved it too?
I mean, is it the best TV show ever?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
It might be.
Yeah.
Wow. It might be.
Fantastic.
Do you have where Rob Riggle describes his enjoyment of Kenny G?
I'm not sure. Let's see. It may be part of the same clip. Hang on.
Of Holly Fine.
A master of distraction and a master of outstanding saxophone music. Sometimes I'll be driving around the road and I'll think of Kenny G and drive into a ditch.
I love this show so much.
It's so dumb.
It's so stupid. Oh my God, I love it so much, you guys.
My fear was it wasn't going to be dumb enough. You're saying
they take the dumb to a level that is absurd.
It's crazy how many different shows are rolled into one. It's kind of part. Obviously, it's very much American Ninja Warrior. It's very much Wipeout. It's also got, I mean, I think it's got a Family Feud element into it, and that everybody is dressed in like ridiculous costumes. Like, one of the guys who is playing, he's a lumberjack. He's wearing the whole lumberjack. There's another guy dressed in a unicorn onesie. I mean, everything about it is bizarre.
Oh, man, it
sounds
so good.
Outstanding.
You will love it.
Oh, holy moly,
I will watch it more than once this weekend.
Yeah, you will.
Yeah, but the only problem is how long we have to wait until next Thursday now.
I know.
I mean, what are we supposed to do with all these hours?
Agreed. All right, guys, more holy moly talk in a bit. But for now.
Holy moly! I think you have to deliver it like that if you don't mind.
Yeah. No problem. From now on. Happy birthday, Juliette Lewis. Prince William, the Duke of Cambridge, heir to the British throne. Go ahead, Bean. Say happy birthday to Prince William.
Happy birthday.
Good.
It's getting worse.
It's getting
it's definitely
worse.
You're losing
it.
The badness that you had.
Oh,
yes.
Jeez.
Yes, I had a 5% acceptable British accent. Mm-hmm. Now it's down to 1.
Wow.
Good Lord.
Going the wrong direction, man.
Chris Pratt, Lana Del Rey.
Obviously.
Rebecca Black, and good Lord, could he be the handsomest, kindest man in all of rock? Yes, he can. Lead singer of The Killers. Brandon Flowers. And that's what's happening.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show, K-Rock.
I'd just like to say that Omar's probably one of my favorite people in the world.
He's my favorite. Sure. He's the best guy I've ever met.
Thanks, guys.
I would say best friend ever.
Really?
Yeah.
Right. You've never said that before.
Yeah, well,
I just need to make sure that I put it out there.
Okay.
I don't think of him as, I'm not presumptuous enough to think of Omar as a friend because he's really more of a hero or an idol to me.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
I basically just kind of worship him. I'm a little bit nervous even to talk to him here.
Really?
So what's happening is Omar says to us yesterday, he says, hey, guys, I'm going to need a segment tomorrow.
Yeah.
And we just know what that means. We know that
it's never good.
A secret segment is never good news for Kevin and or Bean, but I just want to remember. Remember that I love you, Omar.
Oh, I appreciate that.
I love you more, though.
You know what?
Than anyone.
And I truly love you guys. And you guys have.
I'm saying individually.
Yes, yeah.
I'm a bigger fan of you than Bean.
I understand.
Remember when I brought you all that Christmas stuff? I was like, you've got a great house. You can use this stuff.
Absolutely. Allie, you have nothing to worry about.
Come on!
All right. But I'm saying I would do you, Omar.
Oh,
that's
really?
What I'm saying. That's,
I'm saying I respect you enough that I wouldn't unless you wanted it and beg.
Wow. I have so many options. It's crazy.
All right. What did we do?
Okay. Look, it's what you have done for the past 30 years.
So crappy radio.
So, no. Oh. Brilliant radio.
That's
and
what I meant.
You know what? You guys are legit legends. And
Shut up. You guys
are radio royalty. And
this
you know,
is exactly what we were doing to you, by the way.
Exactly. And this is, you know what? The Kevin and Bean era is coming to a close at the end of this year, and I'm pretty sad about it.
For sure.
And Kevin and Bean are so humble that they sit down and they be humble. And I'm saying, stand up.
Yeah.
Don't be humble. Mm-hmm. And you need to kind of be a little bit braggadocious about your accomplishments.
Yeah. Just embarrassed.
They're already in one Radio Hall of Fame, and they're nominated again this year.
To you, the listener, you understand this is a huge setup for us looking dumb on tape.
Listen, you guys are the broadcasting bros.
All right. We got it. We've been doing this show a while. We understand.
You guys are the dynamic duo of talk. You guys are just the brilliant broadcasters, okay? And this is my... And I've been lucky enough to be on the show for about 20 years.
Okay.
So I've witnessed a lot of the magic, and I'm kind of an archivist here at the Kevin and Bean Show of all the audio. So I have the privilege of doing Kevin and Bean tributes. This is going to be one of many because when I started this little project, I have so much tape.
Yeah.
That I was like, I'm going to have to do a series
of
tributes.
This is only the beginning.
So this is my little Kevin and Bean tribute, and I did this first tribute in song form.
Kevin and Bean on Radio 30 years on the morning show. K-Rock, all this time they still blow so bad it's criminal.
Sounds like somebody with sore grapes.
Somebody have a lot of people have sour grapes.
Can we have your extra hose?
Hose. That's hose.
Hose. Oh, hose?
Oh, yeah. Can we have your extra hose?
You forgot the E. H-O-E-S.
There you go.
So you are dumb, guys. Really, really dumb, guys. Talk for a living, guys. How are you employed, guys?
Monday morning, we have an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We'll be...
I'm on this syrup is what I'm on.
You are dumb, guys.
Hoody-hoo! I know that you were in Slither, and I remember seeing that movie at the time, but it seemed like it was a long time ago. What stuff did you do in Slither?
What stuff did I do in Slither?
Yeah, I don't understand the question. You have a new special coming out this week called Oh Come On. Mm-hmm. What is it that you want to tell us about? I watched it last night and it's hilarious.
Great.
I can't wait to see it.
Well, thank you.
I can't wait for other people to see it.
That's interesting.
What I should say.
Freudian slip.
Would you have ever expected after the Key and Peele so,
what?
After the Key and Peele years that Jordan Peele would go
Key
off
and,
to
Key and Peele years.
What did I say?
Key and Peele?
Oh no.
So you are dumb, guys. Really, really dumb, guys. Talk for a living, guys. How are you employed, guys?
He's in Suicide Squad 2, by the way.
You are dumb, guys.
Nut sacks. But I think there is some sunshine at the end of this this rainbow. Where do you put the sunshine? At the end of the tunnel? Where does it go?
Plus, world's... Worst first dates. What's happening?
Saturday Night Live so well. Saturday Night Live put it so well.
During the weekend update on Saturday night, which is pretty much where it is. We are good at bad. I'll give us that. Speaking of sports, we're going to talk to the Dodgers manager, Don Mattingly. Try not to call him Don when we get him on.
We're talking about The Walking Dead, which returns on AMC this Sunday night.
Nope. A week from Sunday.
A week from Sunday, I apologize.
October 14th.
On AMC. We're going to have David Morrissey in next hour, who plays the governor. Who's a new...
What the hell's wrong with you?
We had issues.
All right, we're going to play a lullaby version of a Red Hot Pili...
Helicopters.
Thank you. Be right back on the world, whatever it is.
Quality broadcasting right there.
Wow.
Hall of Fame. Standing O.
I effing hate Omar.
It's Kevin and Bean.
K-U-Rock. K-R-O-Q.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Temp check. What kind of summer are we having this year? A family road trip summer? A beach bum summer? Or a wake me when the sun sets summer? With Instacart, choose your own adventure and skip the shopping side quests. Where available, you can get ice cream delivered to your hotel, sunscreen to the pool, or cold brew to your bed. Well, door, in as fast as 30 minutes. Wherever you find yourself this summer, you can get the goods. Download Instacart for free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum $10 per order. Excludes restaurants. Additional terms and fees apply.
All right, Allie's here. It's time for What's Happening on a Friday.
It's Friday.
Yeah.
Thank you. Remember a couple weeks ago, we had David Tennant in. Mm-hmm. He was talking about his new show with Michael Sheen, the 6-part miniseries, Good Omens. Great reviews. People are loving it.
I still have it on my list. I've not watched it yet, but it looks great.
Absolutely. It's super funny about an angel and a demon having to work together to prevent the apocalypse. Well, some people aren't amused.
Oh.
Some 20,000 Christians aren't impressed. They've signed a petition demanding Netflix cancel the show, and they're not happy about it. Want to know why? Wait,
because there's a character in it who's the devil?
Here's the thing. Because the show appears to make Satanism normal, light, and acceptable. This is a religious group called Return to Order. Return to Order. They orchestrated the petition to protest. And here's the only problem with this protest. They're demanding that Netflix get rid of the show.
Okay.
It's on Amazon Prime. So
Netflix tweeted out, done.
Netflix did tweet something out.
Oh, did they?
Yesterday, the official Twitter for Netflix UK responded in writing saying, okay, we promise not to make any more. Unbelievable!
That's amazing.
It's brought me so much
fantastic.
Joy. It's so good. It is just so, so very good. All right. You know, I don't quite get auctions. I don't know how people pay insane amounts of money for things they're never going to use. Where are you going to put it in your home? I don't get those kind of things. So when I saw that David Gilmour, the guitarist for Pink Floyd, was auctioning off a bunch of his guitars, mm-hmm. I thought, okay, well, that makes sense. You're a musician. You're a guitar aficionado. Whatever. You can put it on your wall. It's art. I get it. But he put 120 guitars up for bid, many that he used on classic Pink Floyd albums, and they went for
well... Did you say 120?
120. They went for well above estimates. And when I say well above, record-breaking, you guys. First up, his famed 1969 Black Fender Stratocaster, used on most Pink Floyd albums in the 70s, broke the world record for any guitar sold at auction.
Wow.
It was estimated at $100,000 to $150,000. What do you think it sold for?
It broke the record. I'm going to go $1.5
million. Mm-hmm. Bean?
That sounds very reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna say $1.
Okay. Again,
is this Price is Right?
It is not.
I don't know. I'm not sure how it works.
It's fine. It was estimated again between $100,000 and $150,000.
Okay.
It sold for $3,975,000.
Basically $4 million. That's insane.
Unbelievable.
I'm sorry, the guitar he played on what? On Wish You Were Here? Is that what you said?
It was most albums in the 70s.
Wow, that's unbelievable.
Yeah. His white 1954 Fender Strat, valued between $100,000 and $150,000, sold for $1,815,000 after a 4-minute bidding war that set a world record for a Stratocaster in auction.
Now, people know when they get this guitar, it doesn't make them David Gilmour,
no,
right?
You're supposed to be able to.
That's what I've heard. Yeah. You can play just like him.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, okay.
So in total, his guitar auction brought in 21 million
$490,750.
Unbelievable.
And here's the great part. It all goes to his Client Earth Charitable Foundation that gives money to famine relief, homelessness, and displacement of people throughout the world.
Wow, so he didn't do it because he was broke and needed the money. He just wanted to raise money for his charity.
I don't think that's what we're saying, sir. That's unbelievable, though, right?
Yeah. Asshole.
Again.
What?
$21.5 million to
charity. I agree. This is amazing.
It's incredible.
That guy. What do you need him for?
Again, you are not grasping.
we're saying it's a good thing.
Yeah, I'm saying it's a good thing, too. I don't know.
Yeah. Why are these people all piping in with this?
I'd like to punch him in the face.
Again, sir. This makes no sense. Ugh. I know what you're going to say.
He is the founder of ISIS. He's the founder of ISIS.
He is not.
He's just David Gilmour trying to raise some money for charity.
That's all it is.
The story's
on fire.
Well, he was. He was on
literally.
Fire. With goodness. Again, what's happening?
Okay.
Guys, you're going to say it's too early to talk about Halloween, right? We haven't.
No, I am not.
4th of July.
I love Halloween.
I don't know what it is about Halloween, but it is my favorite.
Yeah.
And it's not too early for me on that one.
I love it.
I love Halloween, and I just listened to Monster Mash yesterday.
Okay. Well, that's...
Let's not get back into that.
Yeah. What's going on?
Actually, I'm just talking about the Halloween franchise. It hasn't finished the whole Michael Myers nightmare just yet. Here's the sentence I love.
I was working in the lab late one night.
This is what happens.
If people don't know what that is, can you just explain?
For the first 10 years, I don't know why, but Bean was obsessed with the Monster Mash.
Mm-hmm. I love the Monster Mash. It's one of my 5 favorite songs of all
time.
And
he would drink a drink of water, and then he would just start the gargling sound that starts that song. And he would do it until I started the lyrics. So I would say, stop it, stop it. He would just keep going, keep going, keep going. And then finally, I was working. Okay, great. He would stop. And then for 10 years, we did it back and forth to each other. I would start gargling. He would say, nope, not doing it. And then we would end up breaking and do it. So then we told that story.
If you could isolate that chunk, that would be great.
Yes. Did I miss
it? I would start gargling and he would then do it. Yeah, I heard
just
that
get
too.
That.
Okay, maybe that wasn't a good description. So then we described that and then people started calling in the Afro line. They were all gargling and it was
And I hope amazing. They had forgotten about it until you just brought it up again, dum-dum.
Did I say the words Monster Mash?
You didn't, Kevin.
Yeah, but then you did the gargling.
That was Bean.
By the way, I don't care about the Halloween franchise, but I do care about Halloween. And Dave tells me that I was working in the lab late one night. Dave tells me that Disneyland is already selling tickets to their Halloween party.
I love it. I love it so much.
First day of summer.
Here's the thing. The sequel to the 2018 reboot is set for an October 16, 2020 release. The sequel to the reboot. I just love that sentence. Remember in 2018 they did the reboot?
Yes.
And everybody was back and Danny McBride co-wrote the script and we were like, what? Danny McBride? Yeah, it's coming back, you guys. Blumhouse sources have said that Halloween 2 will begin filming after Labor Day. All are assured to return.
All right.
They're saying. Here's the thing. When Danny McBride, who co-wrote the original script along with Gordon Green, they decided we were going to shoot films back to back, but let's hold off and see how the first one does.
Okay.
Because what if we do two and then the first one had flopped? That's just bad. Safe to say they didn't have to wait because the 2018 Halloween brought in $255 million worldwide at the box office, and it had a $10 million budget.
So it did. That seems good.
It did pretty good.
Gotcha.
So great news for Halloween fans. Great news for the Monster Mash. Just
come on. I was working in the lab.
Wait, Bean, was that even?
I don't think so either.
I was going to say that wasn't even you.
It wasn't even Bean. I should have recognized that and not done it.
Oh, but anyone could prop them up.
I don't know. Okay. I think we should have drawn that line, Bean.
Yeah, you should have, but you didn't.
Okay. Not doing it.
Because it's not Bean. Okay. Yeah, he has standards. All right, some birthdays for you. We've got Rebecca Black, Brandon Flowers, Chris Pratt, Prince William, the Duke of Cambridge, Juliette Lewis, and Lana Del Rey.
Obviously.
And that's what's happening.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
Face blindness is in the news right now, and I'll tell you why in a minute. Had you guys ever heard of this condition before?
No.
I had heard about it, but I never really looked into it because I always thought these are just people that don't want to remember.
That's
other people.
What I think is that I forget people's names. Mm-hmm. So as an excuse, I will say that I have face blindness.
Sure. Sure.
Face blindness, which medically is known as prosopag. It's called face blindness.
Okay.
And it's exactly what you think it is. It's a relatively rare condition where you cannot recognize anyone's face. This includes your family, your friends, or even yourself.
Wait, hold up.
You look in a mirror and you know it's you because you can see that you're standing in front of a mirror, but you can't look at that face and identify it as your own.
Whoa. Do you think they go, who's that?
Yes.
Why is this motion? Oh, why is this motion the same as mine?
She has horrible hair. Oh, no.
Here's a woman named Bo James. A stranger once waved at Boo on the bus. I said Bo, didn't I? Boo James. A stranger once waved at Boo on the bus. She did not think anything more of it until it later emerged that it was her mother.
Oh, man.
Scientists have now launched a study they hope could train people like Boo to recognize people better. But she said for many years she thought she was from another planet. It's immensely stressful and very emotionally upsetting to sit and dwell upon it, so I try not to do that. It's very hard work. It's physically and emotionally exhausted to spend a day out in public constantly wondering whether you should have spoken to someone. For most of her life, she didn't even know she had the condition, by the way. She had no way to explain it to people. It's just that she didn't know who they were. It was nothing but traumatic experiences with fellow children and teachers she could not recognize. Even now, at 51 years old, she struggles to recognize family and long-term friends, recently failing to recognize her father while getting together with him over the holidays.
Have you guys had that thing where you know you should know their name? Mm-hmm. And it's you know them too well to ask.
Mm-hmm.
And you have, during the conversation, you're just listening for any clue.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Where they go, oh, yeah. And then my girlfriend said to me, hey, Paul. I'm like, Paul, that's it.
Yes. Of course. Absolutely. Yeah. She says she has developed tactics and techniques which help her to figure out who's who. She says, I have another palette I can use, hairstyles, a piece of jewelry that someone might wear regularly, the way that somebody dresses, people's voices once they start talking, even the silhouette of someone, their body shape. So she just uses other clues since she doesn't have the face. And I've seen pictures. I did a little deep dive on this yesterday. And I've seen pictures of what it looks like for people who have face blindness. And you know there's a swipe you can do on photographs if you want to blur something out,
yeah,
like on your phone,
mm-hmm,
and it just kind of takes the pixels and squiggles them,
yep,
so you can't make it up, like you do with a license plate or something. That's what the face looks like.
No, so it's like a pixelated face. It's not that you just don't recognize them. You clearly can't see them.
You can't even
see features on,
yes.
Wow.
Oh.
Another person with face blindness kind of described it as you can tell that they have eyes and a nose, for instance, but not in any clarity. You can't identify it from everybody else's eyes and nose. That's how weird it is.
Terrifying.
I can't even imagine what that would be like. I don't even know how you could interact with people in your life, at home, at a job.
I think you could.
And what about like going to the movies or something like that? I mean, would you even be? I mean, I assume this would, I never have not seen this addressed in anything I read, but I assume this would translate to screens too, like photographs and TV and movie screens too,
I would,
right?
Yes.
Yeah, like when they reveal who the killer is, you're like, who is that?
Who's the killer?
I don't know. Okay, Bean, in your deep dive, did you find out if people are born with this? Does it come after a traumatic brain injury? How does it?
You are born with it.
Wow.
And there are various degrees of it. There are some people who have slight trouble with it, and there are other people who have full-on bad, and it does come and go as well, by the way, which is
comes
also terrifying.
Comes and goes? What?
Yes, which is also... For some people it does, yes. I said it was in the news, and this is why it's kind of... This is why these articles are popping up right now, is because I know it's hard to keep track of all the people who are running for president, because there are 24 of them running against
Please
the
incumbent
right now.
Please tell me somebody with face blindness is going to run for president.
Governor John Hickenlooper, Kevin, is the governor of the great state of Colorado.
How is he already a governor if he doesn't recognize people?
He has face blindness. Here he is in his own words being interviewed on the topic. By the way, did they interview him in a Virgin America plane in the first class?
Sexy music going on.
What is happening, John?
Like,
where are you?
A pink hue all over him.
Yes, exactly. All right, here's the governor.
Everyone thought that I didn't pay attention and that I didn't care about when I met people that I couldn't recognize them.
Same.
When you process what a face looks like, you put it in your memory bank, you can't access that information again.
Same.
I could spend 2 hours with someone at night, see him the next morning at Starbucks, and I honestly wouldn't recognize him.
I've done that.
No, those are just bad one-night stands, Sally. That's all that is.
Okay, wasn't clear.
You just pretend to not recognize them.
Right.
So, I mean, if you're a politician, though, and your life revolves around the connections that you make and the donors, obviously,
yeah.
I mean, you need to be able to go up to the guy who gave you the $100,000 and say thanks, right? I would think that would really be...
I don't know how you would get a... How you could do that?
No. You're meeting with world leaders, and you're like, who are you again? And the guy's like, I'm Putin. Like, come on.
Yeah. Which one are you? Are you Chile or France? I can't
tell.
What
is going on?
More for the governor.
When I was in the restaurant business, obviously, it was a nightmare. In politics, it's kind of a nightmare. But you learn to adapt. If someone looks at me like they know me, I greet them like an old friend.
Now, how does he know they're looking at him like they know him?
I think there's probably a comfortableness about them when they approach him. Like, you can sort of tell.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, hey, Hickey.
Huh?
When they're like, hey, Hickey, and he's like, they know me. Mm-hmm.
So that I actually know them, I'm just not recognizing them yet. That overcompensation actually turns out to be, a good life skill. More of us probably could benefit from being friendlier when we first meet people.
So this is a positive.
That's what he's trying to turn into.
He is a politician.
I don't know if I'm ready for, I know there are barriers yet to be broken. We're still waiting for that first woman president. I don't know that I'm ready for a face-blind president yet, you guys. I'm not sure I can get behind it. What do you guys think?
I mean, he takes clues from your hairstyle and other things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I'm Putin, I wear like an afro and I show up and go, hey, man, what's up? Wouldn't you do that? world leader do that every time they met him?
Find the guy with the disability and screw with him. Kevin 2020.
When you say it that way, it sounds bad.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock. K-R-O-Q.
I'm not going to have time to run a marathon anymore, Kevin, because of the new gig. I'm sorry. I was very close to being able to run that marathon, probably super, super fast, too.
Right.
But I feel like now I just can't. I got too much on my plate.
Okay, I just want to clarify, though, that none of us were forcing you to run a marathon, that the idea originated with you.
It was a dumb idea.
Okay.
It was. It did not bear fruit.
And when I said you're not going to do it, you said that's what you said about my tattoo.
I did say that. Yes, I was pretty mouthy. Yeah.
The one thing you follow through on in 30 years.
Right.
That was your example.
Bean says this stuff just off the top of his head, and then he wants us all to believe it.
Okay. But did I not learn to play the ukulele like a mother effer,
you
or did
didn't.
I?
You did not.
Oh, that's right.
Kevin bought you one.
You didn't play it once.
I did. But I did. I am now fluent in Norwegian, like I promised
not
I would
a
be,
word.
Right?
Not a word.
You lie. Okay. That's what we know.
Well, I don't lie.
You lie. So yesterday we talked to Dr. Drew, and for those of you that don't listen later in the show, Bean wanted to know the long-term health hazards of running long distance so that he could finally put the nail in the coffin of this idea. And here's a little bit of that conversation.
There's no way it can be good for your body. It can't. I mean, I feel like all I'm doing is setting myself up for injury. I feel like I already have the runner's knee. I probably already pulled a hammy. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that can go bad with running.
The runner's knee.
Okay,
here's the deal. When I was running more, I was running on trails and things, and all my orthopedic colleagues looked at me and goes, and I'll see you in the operating room. They're all like, oh, yeah, you're going to turn an ankle. You're going to get a knee problem.
Thanks for coming on, Dr. Drew. Have a great week.
So that was the very beginning of the conversation, and then it continued.
When you get into more distance-type settings, you can get in real trouble. The big thing that pops up on people's radar is something called rhabdomyolysis, which is really your muscles dissolving. And that would be bad enough.
Thank you. Wait, I've never heard of that. Your muscle can literally just go away?
Rhabdomyolysis is actually pretty common in marathon runners. And that's why they have to stay so hydrated, because the myoglobin that breaks down from the muscle will actually clog the kidneys and damage the kidneys.
And I can't have that. I only have one kidney. I got to be super careful with my kidney.
Yes, you do. So you'll have to stop running. There you go, Bean.
Ladies and gentlemen.
The other issues
I'm the only one applauding, but ladies and gentlemen. So how you like me now? Apparently I made the right move, according to the doctor.
I'm going to say again, you brought it up. Mm-hmm. You mm-hmm. said you were going to run a marathon. Mm-hmm. You forced us to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And
what's
then
your, what's your point?
And then you quit and you're not doing it.
What I did was the right thing.
Okay, but here's what I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
There's another alternative.
Oh. Okay.
Because you're talking about running a marathon.
Right.
I would like to introduce you to a sprinter.
Oh.
Have you thought of that being shorter distances?
No, I have not.
Not even like a quarter mile, but like 100 yards.
You
100
can
meters.
Do that?
Right. Hey, I mean, I could do that with enough training, yeah.
I would like to introduce you to a woman that is 103 years old.
Oh.
And running.
Finally here tonight. Who ever heard of a runner setting world records just a couple of years after taking up the sport? It turns out this beginner has plenty of life experience.
I'll tell you, listen to me.
At 103 years old, Julia Hawkins isn't slowing down. She's picking up the pace.
Julia Hawkins, gold medalist.
Whoa!
She is a sprinter, Bean. She's 103.
Wow.
She started running when she hit 100.
I love her. I love her.
Here's a little more.
During this week's National Senior Games in Albuquerque, New Mexico, Hurricane Hawkins, as she's known.
She's known as Hurricane Hawkins! Yes.
That's brilliant.
Won gold in both the 50 and 100 meter races. That's not all. The sprinter set a new USA track and field record as the oldest woman to compete on an American track.
I love
wow.
that the record isn't a time, it's an age.
Right.
Yes. I noticed that they did not say that it was 7.5 minutes to run the 100 yards.
She's the oldest person to run on a track. That's the record that she said.
I hope I'm inspiring them to be healthy and to realize you can still be doing it at this kind of an age.
Hawkins is no stranger to breaking records. She started her running career at age 100.
So I'm saying...
That's perfect.
You're pretty close to 100.
I'm going to be like Hurricane. When I become 100, I'm going to start taking my running seriously.
Maybe run shorter distances, but let's keep with the running theme.
But when I turn 100, though, right?
A little more from Hurricane.
And quickly racked up 3 world records by 102, including in the 100-meter dash. She told reporters at the time she skipped her nap to make that race.
You see the dedication?
Oh, my God.
The dedication this person has to running is not getting Dr. Drew on the phone saying, hey, tell me I shouldn't.
She
skipped a goddamn nap.
Yeah, shit, I wouldn't skip a nap for anything. No, she's a better person than I am. There's no question.
I thought it'd be neat to run at 100 and do the 100-yard dash.
Her training secret, gardening at her home in Louisiana.
All right, Bean.
How is that?
Louisiana! She gardens at her home in New Orleans.
For a 103-year-old, that's exercise, Allie. It's just getting out and moving around the yard, I would imagine.
In Louisiana.
I got to find her. Is she hot?
Okay.
First of all, the word sprint may be overused here because it's really sort of walking.
It's a darling shuffle.
It's a little
what she's
walk
doing.
Where her hips go back and forth and her arms.
She's the best.
And she, I mean, like.
No, Hurricane's a goer.
Come on.
I'm saying maybe consider becoming her, you know, husband. In running.
Oh.
Your husband in running.
Okay.
Deal. Done and done.
Mr. Hurricane. Okay. So when are you going to start running your 100 yards?
I'm going to go. I'm right after the show today. I'm going to start walking around the neighborhood and looking for her in the yard.
Okay. Good luck.
The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/across America.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
And now, a moment with Bean.
there's a trucker trying to make it from, you know, from Fargo to a city in Michigan. Or wherever.
I don't know where he's going. I haven't seen the manifest.
I mean, your shift is going to go great if that's any.
I feel like I shouldn't have been able to come up with any other city.
That was a moment with me.
I mean, you named a city in the United States.
I did come up with one.
And then you were out.
Come on, you guys.
It was something.
Come on. Welcome to my life, dude. How does it feel?
I don't know. I'd rather have face blindness. I don't know how you do it. I couldn't be more excited, A, to put that behind me, but B, to let you guys know that Forky is in the building,
and
ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, come on. With B.
Come on. There's a trucker trying to make it from, you know, from Fargo to a city in Michigan. Or wherever.
I don't know where he's going. I haven't seen the manifest.
I mean, your shift is going to go great if that's any.
I feel like I shouldn't have been able to come up with any other city.
That was a moment with Bean.
It's pretty sweet. Tony Hale joins us just after 8 a.m.
Unless he heard that.
Here, in which case he's right back in the elevator on his way down, and who can blame him? First, though, it's one of our very favorites. That's my shams of the entire
what
week.
What is happening? You mean what's
Are
happening?
You having a stroke?
It's our favorite. What's happening? Because we do. That's my jam.
That's what I said. Right?
No, that's our favorite. That's my jam break of the week.
What I'm saying is, there's Fargo over here, and then over here, there's another city that I'll think of later.
Right.
All right. Here's Allie to explain what's happening.
I'll explain that's my jam if you want.
Okay.
He's winded.
He's still confused.
That was
and now a moment with Bean.
There's a trucker trying to make it from, you know, from Fargo to a city in Michigan. Or wherever.
I don't know where he's going. I haven't seen the manifest.
I mean, your shift is going to go great if that's any.
I feel like I shouldn't have been able to come up with any other city.
That was a moment with Bean.
All right, let me handle this. Uh-huh. Hey, we love what's happening. Mm-hmm. One of our favorites of the week is this one because we talk about That's My Jam.
Thank you so much, Kevin. Mm-hmm. Yeah, That's My Jam is our playlist that every member of the Kevin and Bean Show contributes to weekly. Every week we're like, this is a song that just came out, I'm digging it. Or a song that came across a playlist and you were like, remember that one? That's my jam. Which is why we called it That's My Jam. So we're going to tell you what our songs are, why we came up with them, and play a little bit for you right now. First up, Kevin.
Mine is Max Frost. I had not heard of him before I came across his song. He's a singer-songwriter that grew up in Austin, Texas, and he's one of these guys that learned to play drums when he was four. So super annoying.
Yeah.
He plays a bunch of different instruments. He moved out to Los Angeles in 2017. He put out his first album last year called Gold Rush. He opened for 21 Pilots and a bunch of different bands. And this song is called Money Problems. And I like it because most songs where you address money, it's how much money you have.
Right.
This is he doesn't have any money. So okay. I love that.
'Cause what goes, baby, comes around.
Yeah.
No sterling silver, no greenback fountains glittering down. I'm waiting on my day to come. No champagne dinners, 'cause I can't pay the bill when we're out. No, no. I got nothing in my pockets. Tell me, baby, do you judge me?
I got money problems. I got money problems.
But I've been thinking.
Nice.
Right? That's good.
I
sounds
like
real
that
good.
A lot.
I loved it when I first heard it. I listened to it about 10 times since.
Excellent. Bean, you're up.
It's funny because I was thinking that song has a little bit of a 90s pop vibe, and mine does too. Here's a song from an artist named Ashley O. The song is called On a Roll. Kevin, you are going to hate this so much. You're gonna think that this is blasphemy.
Why?
So I want to play a little piece of this song for you, and then I'll explain why it is the way it is. Listen up.
Tell me what you want me to.
Oh, honey.
Kiss me up against the wall.
Oh, honey.
Don't take anything, just have it all.
Yeah, I can't take it. Oh. So don't you fake it.
Are we done
I
yet?
Know your love's my
listen.
Destiny. Yeah, I can't take it. Please demonstrate it. 'Cause I'm going down in history.
Yep.
My goal.
That is a cover remake of Head Like a Hole by Nine Inch Nails, Kevin.
Head Like a Hole by Nine Inch Nails is in my top 10 songs of all time.
That's why I knew you would hate this.
For me.
The S word.
No, you can't
say
that.
What?
Yeah.
But here's why there's...
But it was accurate.
It was.
There's a story behind it. Black Mirror is a sensational science fiction show on Netflix. Miley Cyrus stars in one episode of the new season playing a pop star named Ashley O. This was done with the complete permission and assistance of Trent Reznor.
He's not paying attention anymore.
Trent Reznor.
He's like, yeah, whatever. He's not paying attention.
Trent Reznor says, I love it. You have my permission to rewrite the lyrics to that song. They're even selling official Ashley O Honor Roll t-shirts on the Nine Inch Nails website. They are all in behind this remake of the song.
We need to find out what they've done with Trent.
So there you go. So
the fake Trent is now running things.
One of the most bizarre covers of all time with a weird story. But you can see that episode of Black Mirror currently streaming on Netflix. Again, the artist is Miley Cyrus as Ashley O.
All right. Jensen is not here today. But Bean, I understand you know a little bit about his pick.
A little bit. And you're going to love this song, too. We had Jack from All Time Low stop by the K-Rock Coachella house. And he said that he was working on a super secret project that he would be unveiling soon. You know, they're having a busy year in All Time Low because Alex has the band Simple Creatures with Mark Hoppus. And now Jack teamed up with another guy, a singer-songwriter from Los Angeles, to create their own side project. The band is called Who Hurt You? And I think you guys are going to like the song that Jensen picked for us this week called Wish We Never Met. When you ask if A lot of bops this week.
Yeah,
that sounds great.
It does sound great.
That's two out of three that are bops.
And finally, my pick is from a band that you might have seen play our Weenie Roast, and they killed it. The band is The Regrets, and their second studio album will be out in early August, apparently 15 tracks. And they just put out a new single this week, and I love it. Here's a little bit of I Dare You by The Regrets. Come on and jump, but I dare.
Three out of four. That's pretty good batting average.
Not bad, you guys. Excellent work.
If you had a .750 batting average in baseball, you are a hero for the end of time.
Stoked.
Where can we hear all these songs,
well,
Allie?
I will tell you. You can look on at Kevin and Bean on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We will link you right to our That's My Jam playlist. Follow along. New music in your ears every single week. And let's just wrap it up, because Tony Hale's here, and who cares about anything else? That's what's happening.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
K-Rock. You guys.
I know.
I see him. He's right there in front of us. I see him.
Tony Hale.
Oh, my gosh.
Just a favorite.
So happy to be here right now. I was saying it's a bump of joy walking into this room.
Tony, you understand that you are way too big a star now to be doing the Kevin and Bean show.
Why are you already talking him out of coming?
No, but I'm just saying because you got to take control of your career, man. Okay, I mean, it's one thing when you're on Arrested Development. Yeah, come in and see us. You're on Veep.
Great seeing you. I'm out.
Yeah. When you're on Veep, Yes.
I need an advocate.
Now he's Forky. He doesn't need to be doing the chuckle hut here. Come on. So, Tony, how are you feeling, first of all?
I'm feeling great. I'm so excited for people to see this movie because it is just really amazing. It really is. I saw it last week. I will say I went to the premiere last week, and it was that moment of like, oh, maybe they did make a mistake. Maybe I am supposed to be in this. I had a bit of an imposter theory.
Oh, that would really suck.
Really? Oh, yeah. Everybody has the imposter theory, though. You're like, someone's going to figure out that I'm not supposed to be here. They meant Jack Black or something like that.
But we feel like that's true of us, but not, how do you feel like?
Oh, always. Always.
Yeah, everyone
actually
does?
My wife worked at SNL for 8 years, and she said every single actor that walked into SNL had the imposter theory that someone is going to figure out that they're not supposed to be there.
What?
Wow. Isn't that something?
I thought that was just something those of us that have no talent have.
No. And I very, that's very crazy. Much relate so like, to no, Forky no, that way. Everyone. Because Forky walks around, he's like, what's going on? Why am I here? So, I mean, we're one and the same.
Forky's sort of me.
I distinctly remember when I did the story about Toy Story 4, and they were introducing a new character called Forky, and I read it on the air, and I said, does it interest you guys that it's Tony Hale? And we lost it because, A, just to be brought into franchise is huge, but then to be brought in as a character that's kind of the star of the whole thing.
He's already iconic. Well, before the movie came out, he was iconic.
Well, they described him to me. They said, okay, so he's a utensil who thinks he's, you know, made for chili and meant for the trash. And he has a neurotic energy, and we thought of you.
Oh, there
and
you
I
go.
Was
is
like,
that a compliment?
Game
on. Was that a compliment or
my specialty?
So Forky is a spork, right?
Yes,
he's
he
a
is.
Spork.
Yes,
and he, like you said, he thinks he just has one job, and is kind of the idea of the movie that the other toys kind of teach him that yes, he has value beyond that.
Oh,
one.
Oh yeah, that's a big part of it. I mean, okay. I don't think it's Pixar's intention to always do these message-driven movies, but they come out, and Forky's big story is he thinks, you know, I have one route. It's to help people eat chili, go to the trash, and Woody comes along, and he's like, you have a greater purpose than that. You have more value.
And are you covered in chili at that point?
And I'm covered in chili.
You have to shower it off.
But on a meta level, like anybody who might think that that's their only way or somebody treats them that way, no, they have much more value than that. They
that's
have greater
so
purpose.
That's so sweet.
And then
that's
we're crying in the corner in the theater. Perfect.
Well, I'll tell you this. My friend went last night, and I posted on my Instagram stories that you were coming in today, and I got a DM that said, you know I'm the biggest Toy Story fan. You know how much I love Toy Story. And I'm like, oh God, I don't want to keep
what's
reading.
About to happen.
Literally said, it's the best one of the franchise, and they're going again today.
Oh,
like,
my goodness.
Can you imagine?
By the way, there was a lot of talk of should there be a fourth one after the third one.
Yeah,
people
sure.
are saying it's the best one.
And here, just to acknowledge, to put this out, we voice actors, we talk about it, we get a lot of the attention. We are a very small piece of this pie. Most of the pie is the artistry and story, everything else that has gone into this movie. Mm-hmm. It is eye candy. Like, it is visually stunning. They said my character, the Spork, who's very simple, he sees the world simply, he's simply made. But they said he's actually very challenging. He's like five different textures. He's got the pipe cleaner arms, plastic fork, the clay, the wood feet, the googly eyes. Those textures to do were so difficult. And on a big screen, you can see the enormous detail
perfect.
That went into that.
Wow.
Wow.
This is gorgeous.
Did you get to hang out with any of the other, because there's so many great voice actors in this?
We all recorded separately, and then we met at the premiere. And I was just amazed. I mean, like, Annie Potts, and who's the sweetest woman. I don't know if you guys have met her. She's the sweetest woman in the world. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all these, they've been a part of this movie for 25 years. It's a 25-year franchise, and we're the new kids on the block.
Yeah.
So they were so welcoming.
New Kids on the Block is in this movie?
Yeah, the New Kids on the Block are in this movie.
I can't wait
there's
for
a whole
showing.
Number.
Yeah. Tony, you said Tom Hanks. I mean, it's just a crazy cast of people.
Yeah, and there, and also, I think it's just Woody alone, just hearing him say, come on, guys, it's so comforting. Because I think, to me, one of the reasons this movie has had longevity is you see these group of characters who are very different, but they realize you're not meant to do this life alone. You got to work together. You got to celebrate your differences, and they have made it work. And, like, we need to take a
lesson
on that.
It's a very positive message that doesn't hit you over the head with being a very positive message.
Exactly.
Tony, you don't think Tom Hanks has imposter syndrome, do you?
I don't know.
After you've won two Oscars,
I'll get him on the phone.
No, but don't you think that a guy like Tom Hanks is confident that he can do whatever job he's hired for? He can't feel like he shouldn't be there. He's Tom Hanks.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's a good point. I don't know if that should be my next question I ask him when I see him.
Okay. All right.
Hey, Tom, I'm curious if you, how much, let's get to your deep childhood.
Do you
wounds.
Feel do you? Like an imposter?
Even though you're.
Because I'm here to tell you you're not supposed to be here.
Tony, even though you're a big star now, and you know
please.
It, and we all know it, and there's no way you can even go outside without getting recognized.
Okay.
That's, everywhere now.
That's not happening.
That
go
is
ahead.
True. There's no way people don't know who Tony Hale is.
Oh, there's
I'm just
that
saying, quirky sidekick. Go ahead.
Were you a little bit starstruck hanging out with people like Tom Hanks and Tim Allen.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah?
100%. And it's like, I mean, even like last week we had the premiere and it was like me, Tom, Tim, and Keanu just having a chat.
Unreal.
Yeah. You're just like,
who
what?
Does not fit this what? Picture?
Yeah, exactly. Which one of these is not like the other?
Me! Before we take a break with the great Tony Hale, we're talking Toy Story 4, which, by the way, in case you're curious, made $12 million last night in Thursday previews. The second best preview night for an animated movie after what? What movie do you think made more than Toy Story 4 in its Thursday night debut?
Toy Story 1?
I was going to say one of the other Toy Stories.
Incredibles 2, believe Incredibles. It or not.
Really?
Incredibles 2. Really? So you're still a pretty good company there.
Tony's not buying it.
It's, by the way, on track and expected to make $55 million today and between $150 and $160 million this weekend.
Good God.
And then, and what, like?
He gets
half
all
of that.
That.
And
yeah.
I, guys, I get
all of
that.
It or half of it?
I know.
All of
I'm
it.
Here to tell you I'm the executive producer, too.
We have many more Toy Story 4 questions. Tony Hale is our guest. A quick break. We'll be right back on K-Rock.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock. K-R-O-Q.
Kevin and Bean and Allie and Tony Hale.
I think this is the new lineup, you guys. I'm sorry, Jensen, you've been replaced. Tony Hale, would you like to join the Kevin and Bean Show full-time?
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much. I'm in.
Okay,
who's
deal.
Who's leaving?
That's me.
Well,
that's
Allie. Me.
Oh, no, I was pointing at
Bean.
Oh,
you were pointing to Bean. Oh, yes. Okay. Well, Bean.
Bean is actually leaving at the end of the year.
I am actually leaving, yes.
Oh, are you really leaving?
Tony, news to Tony.
At the end of the year, yeah. He's moving to England.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you have family there?
I do.
Oh, nice. Are you just kind of going to go back and just settle there?
Who's interviewing who here, Tony?
He's allowed to ask questions.
Yes. I want to get back to Toy Story 4, but yes.
Right. Okay.
Hold on, Bean. Hold on. I think that we need to demand that Bean give the answers in his British accent.
I don't have a British accent.
So that he can,
I don't, so he fits
in when he moves.
Absolutely.
So ask the question again, please, Tony.
Okay, Bean, are you looking forward to like going back? Are you enjoying your time there?
Now wait for this.
Why is his accent so much better than mine?
It's not.
I don't understand.
He's the worst Ringo ever.
I don't know why he's got such a good accent and I've got such a trash one.
It's beautiful. You sound fantastic.
Tony, I didn't know you did voices. That's amazing.
It's a neurotic British voice.
I've always wanted to move back to England.
I'm sorry, Bean.
I've always wanted to move back to England. I was born there and raised there. And I miss it, and I thought it'd be fun for the second half of my life.
Isn't it supposed to be like the most expensive city? Is that true?
Yeah. Well, that doesn't help for a guy who's grown without a job. But thanks for asking.
Sorry.
But your government is sorted. There's no political issue.
That's true.
You got that going for you.
There's never been a smoother time to move to Britain, that's for sure. So, Tony, back to you, the guest of honor here. I want to ask you this question. Prior to the call that changed your life and made you Forky in Toy Story 4, tell me what your relationship had been with the Toy Story films.
Well, actually, I moved to New York in 1995 to become an actor, and that was the year the first Toy Story came out. And I remember seeing it and, you know, obviously loving it, and I never would have thought, you know, one day I'd be associated with it.
Wow.
It's pretty crazy. Mm-hmm. But also Pixar in general, Inside Out is one of the most beautiful movies, and just what they're saying and how kids deal with emotions, and they do it in such a creative way. I mean, it's crazy what they come up with. It's nuts.
Have you ever done, forgive me, I should know this, I should have done more research, but have you ever done animated voice work before?
I have. I've done kind of a lot of cartoons and TV stuff, and it really, actually, I'm very thankful for that because being a comedic actor, you get very, you rely obviously a lot on your physicality.
Mm-hmm.
And even on, Veep, Gary was the opposite of Forky because he could not even speak. Selena Meyer never let him speak, so he only could use his nonverbal. He was even called a bitchy mime. And Forky is just the opposite. Like, he can't use his body. He's a spork. He has no flexibility, a spork. His arms are totally out of control. His eyes are out of control, so he only has his voice. So it was tricky when you get used to using your physicality. You kind of do the same thing when you're recording and just hope that you channel into the microphone, much like you guys.
You do body motions when you're recording the voice.
I just fully acted out. If anything, the challenge was to stay close to the microphone. I was just going crazy behind the microphone, and they'd be like, Tony, Tony, you gotta speak into the microphone. You gotta stay
right
close.
Yeah. It's important.
Yeah. I think most people take for granted how great the voice actors are in movies like the Pixar series of movies, because it's not just a guy going in and just reading a script. I mean, you act. It is acting. And I think people don't realize that, and it's not a skill that everybody can do. I mean, I'll give you one example. Kevin and I, for instance, we had the opportunity to read for some, we were playing a part of some DJs on King of the Hill.
Oh, yeah.
We got cut because we sucked. Because even though we were DJs playing
our own job.
Yes. And what's his face? What's his name? Ali? Mike?
Judge.
Judge calls a guy. We had him on the interview. We had him on the show as an interview not long after that. We're like, hey, whatever happened to our episode? He's like, you guys were terrible. And he just broke the news to us right there on the air that we'd be cut.
And his gift is encouragement.
Yes. And what I'm saying is, I guess I say all of that to say, people have no idea how difficult a skill that is and how much acting is involved, and you guys are great at it.
Well, I will say I've also gained a huge appreciation for it, because I think I came a while back talking about this children's book I did about, it's about a little chicken who's learning how to be present and not looking to his next thing, but and missing where, anyways. But it became a cartoon, and it's going to be coming out on Netflix, and because of that, I learned all about these voice actors in the LA community, that it is their animation and their job, and they do like 50 different voices. And these people are so gifted, like Kevin Michael Richardson or Roger Craig Smith or Kari Wahlgren. These people, their voices sound completely different when they do them.
So if you didn't know that was the same person doing it, you would think...
Oh, you would have no idea. Separate. I mean, it's such a specific gifting that these people have.
You have kids now, Tony?
I do. I have one. She's 13, Loy. Oh. And this is the first thing we can share together to watch, because she can't watch Veep.
Yes,
even
of course.
As a child, she would come on set and she couldn't put the headphones on because the language was so bad. So I think now...
Why are you such a wuss?
I know. This is the first time.
Dad,
she's like,
why are you carrying
my dad
purse?
Does work.
So, I mean, the thing about a Pixar movie is, it's for all ages. I mean, 5-year-olds will love this movie as much as 80-year-olds were. So a 13-year-old is just going to be super stoked to hear dad in this thing, right?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. She was able to come to the premiere with me last week. And she's at a stage, honestly, where she's very embarrassed by me, you know, all that kind of stuff. But this 13. Was... Yeah,
it's pretty sweet,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, everything I do, she's like, oh, enough. And so this she was really excited to see. And they had all this cool like carnival food afterwards, so that was cool to bring her friends to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had a Ferris wheel.
They had a Ferris wheel.
Yeah. Now, that premiere was the most insane thing I've ever
it
seen.
It was nuts.
Now, were you allowed to hang out with her and her friends, or do they go do their own thing?
Oh, that's what I thought. Absolutely not.
That's what I thought.
I was like, hey, Loy, how's it going? away.
Don't know him. Don't know him. Not my dad.
Don't speak to me.
Yeah.
Can I just bring up something about, yes. I know we're talking about Toy Story 4, which is amazing. I'd like to think that you and all your castmates from Veep get together, like, say, Tuesday, Taco Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Is that happening?
Once a week. We grocery shop together once a week. I really miss them.
Yeah.
I really, really love them. And I think, I mean, obviously, we just love each other, but I think the abuse was so intense with the characters. It was such a hard show. Not a hard show, but, like, so harsh to each other. I think it was balanced that we just loved each other so much offset. Cared about each other, walked through a lot, and we really, leaving that was tough. Like, it was a big mourning process.
Everybody was horrible in some way on that show. Mm-hmm. Still the best show ever, but...
Except for Gary, by the way. Gary was not horrible.
He was pretty selfish. I mean, he was like a dog returning to its vomit when it came to that abuse.
Oh,
and
man.
He would have done anything for her, and just, I mean, to deny morals, like all that kind of stuff. I would say the nicest one was probably Sam Richardson, who played... I'm blanking on his name.
Oh, my God. A spliff.
Richard.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. I was on the show for 7 years.
The President of the United States, Tony. How about some respect?
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
He had a pure heart.
Yeah.
What did you?
Yeah,
you're right. Who felt the worst about the stuff they had to say?
Let me think.
Was it Julia? Was it somebody else that, like, really? Because it got so brutal so often.
So brutal. I mean, there was a couple of times that because we would see the scripts for the first time at the table read, and we'd be reading it. And the thing is, some of the stuff that was said to Timothy Simons, who played Jonah, was personal stuff.
Yes.
Like, it's personal. Like, he was called once, he just has a weird shape. And so you're reading this, and you're having to say this line, and you're like, Oh, God, let's hug it out, man. I mean, I'm just sorry. Oh, I think he was called, he's so tall, like Cloud Disturber. I mean, just.
There were 1,000 names.
It was personal. Thousands. Yeah, my favorite. Can I cuss on this?
Yes. Well, it depends on what it is, but go ahead.
My favorite was Frankenstein's monster.
Okay, right up until that last line, you can say it. Yeah, right to the last word. Yeah.
And it's, that's I know awesome. I'm promoting Toy Story, but it's just like, that was the worst. I even think Zach Woods came up with that. He ad-libbed that.
No.
In the moment. So it's not even the script. So sometimes these things would be ad-libbed. And then you're like, that's not even in the script.
That's
and you're saying
hurt
that.
Worse.
I remember Reed Scott, who played Dan, all of a sudden he just calls me Cow Eyes. In the middle of it, and I was like, that's not even on the page, man. Wait, what's happening right now? Not even on the page. Cow Eyes.
And I assume what? All the same hijinks happen when you get to Toy Story 4. I assume everybody's...
I'm just ripping Tom Hanks apart. Yeah.
What did you think? One more Veep question for you, Tony, because we haven't seen you since the finale. What did you think about Selena, you know, doing Gary wrong like that?
What'd you know
think?
What?
I mean, did that hurt personally?
Here's the thing. I have a different perspective about it. I think it was a hidden blessing because he was in such an addictive cycle with that woman and had no idea the abuse. That was the only thing that was going to break him out of that cycle.
Yeah.
Was something like that. So I think the first...
That was tough love.
He was sent to jail. I think the first 5 years, he probably thought, oh, she's coming back.
Yeah.
She's going to come back. Yeah. And then the next 15, he was like, okay.
Oh, this was bad.
This was a bad situation.
Maybe she's not.
And then he had to wake up.
Definitely cried.
Oh, I did too.
Oh, you at the casket
at
and
the funeral. Yeah,
that was rough.
Get
man.
Sad right now.
It was rough. And the makeup.
The makeup. You all
the
looked
makeup
amazing.
Was with those makeup artists and what they did was phenomenal. They had to turn. They had to age everybody 25 years.
Except
up.
Really, yeah. Andrea Savage. She still looked amazing. She's like, "What's up, guys?"
I loved the ones that were aged, but then they got tucked.
Yeah.
They just like got all the tuck in.
Tony, what a life you have. We have missed you.
Oh, you kidding?
We love you so much.
Thank you. I'm going to miss you when you're going off to the UK, man.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I mean, there's so much about this job.
I'm sorry.
I said, I appreciate that. There's so much about this job that I am going to miss, and in particular, the opportunity to get to talk to people like you that I admire so much.
Well,
so,
that's
it's going to be tough. What's next for you besides the Netflix chicken thing? What are
it's
you going to
really,
do after?
It's really that. I'm getting a tremendous amount of joy from just the life of this little chicken Archibald who he sees the best in people and the best in situations, and he lives life to the fullest, and he's my role model.
We
and
need
he wears a little brown woolen sweater and some denim slacks, and his life
like
is
chickens
simple.
Do. Yeah. Sure,
his life is simple, and he gives me a tremendous joy. So he teaches the way he is. I feel like a lot of people in our world need to be more. So I'm getting a lot of joy out of it.
Tony Hale, 2020, ladies and gentlemen, who's with him? Come on,
I'm going to say too good a person to run for office. Yeah. That's what I'm going to say.
Probably.
Yeah. Please. Toy Story 4 is in theaters now. I don't have to tell you because you're obviously already bought your tickets. You're going to see it anyway, but go see it twice. How about that? Tony, we love you. We'll see you again soon, my friend.
Oh, I love you guys. Thanks.
Thank you.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show, the world famous K-Rock.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Oh, our headphones aren't working. What a bummer.
They're working fine.
Too Susan bad. Can hear us. Hi, Susan.
I was really looking forward to this interview, so I'm sorry that it couldn't
happen.
Kevin,
be nice to our guests.
I can't.
She's our guest. CatCon 2019, you guys. It is one of the biggest feline events in the whole country, and it's coming to the Pasadena Convention Center again this year, next weekend, Saturday and Sunday, June 29th and 30th, catconworldwide.com. And the organizer of the event each year is our friend Susan Michaels, who joins us on camera.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
How are you, darling?
I'm not lying to you.
Lion, yes, got it. Go
I feel
on.
I feel pretty possum right now.
You should. It's a big month for you.
Thank you, Kevin. Don't freak me out.
Kevin, you can look up at Susan.
I can't.
Kevin, what's your problem, Kevin? Hates Kevin? Puns.
I hate
that
puns.
We knew.
And you hate cats.
And you hate cats.
Right. I hate both of those. Now, last time I did gain some respect for you in that you started this business from nothing and it's become a crazy huge success. So let's just focus on that.
Mm-hmm. It's a cat extravaganza,
and
Kevin.
And less on the puns.
It's a cat extravaganza. What's going on at CatCon 2019? What's new this year, Susan? For reals, we have a lot of cat lovers out there, as you know. People want to know what they can expect when they come this year.
Well, it's our fifth anniversary. And this year we have a very, very, very big.
I don't know.
That's just saying the word big.
I assume.
Okay. You know, Museum of Ice Cream, Color Factory, mm-hmm. Candytopia, all those mm-hmm. experiential things.
Uh-huh.
Well, we have added to CatCon this year Paradise City. It is 5,000 square feet of experience, interactive, selfie, illusions. You name it, we got it for cat people.
Oh, okay.
I don't understand that.
Okay.
It's a whole.
So basically, it's a whole section. So
to
CatCon.
Do what?
CatCon
to take
is
selfies and have interactive things happening.
Yeah. So CatCon's 125,000 square feet overall.
Oh,
exhibitors,
my gosh.
Cat adoption, celebrity cats like Gold Kitty, Ben, the saddest cat on the internet.
Oh, Ben, sure.
Oh, the saddest cat on the internet is going to be there. Is he going to be sad?
No. Bean, he's going to be joyful. What do you think? He's got a name that includes sad.
Right, but what I'm saying
you,
is...
We have our new...
God, I hate you.
We have our new up-and-comer, the Dark Lord, who's a Sphinx cat and gave Kevin a very special podograph, which I brought in.
Got a podograph.
Yeah, you got a signed picture, Kevin. What do you think?
Oh, that's wonderful.
I know you don't like cats. I hope you'll make an exception and follow me, the Dark Lord.
The cat's name is the Dark Lord. That's awesome.
You gotta love that.
And he refers to his two owners as his wenches.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah.
What kind of celebrities do you have this year, Susan?
Oh, we've got all kinds of celebrities, both feline and human. We have Angela Kinsey from The Office coming.
Oh, your twin, Allie.
It's my twin.
We have Ricky Gervais. Oh, no. He's not coming. That's just my wish list.
Okay.
We have Loppy the cat, who is sort of like, remember Wilfred the dog, the Australian dog with
he's a lot like a dog you don't know.
I don't understand or like any words that are coming from you.
Yeah, we have Loppy the cat, who's a British cat, trying to break in and using her prowess to break into the LA comedy scene. We have Grayson Silverpaws. We have Shrinkle.
Okay, you're saying words now. You're just saying words, and none of them are connected.
I know. I can tell you this. There is a rumor that Macaulay Culkin's bunny ears, led by Macaulay Culkin, would be potentially maybe coming to CatCon.
It's a possibility.
It's a possibility.
Perhaps that changes your mind?
Yeah.
Perhaps.
That makes it sound.
Macaulay Culkin!
Okay, listen, we don't have much time, unfortunately, this year,
we're
Susan.
Out of time.
I'm looking at the clock. What I'm saying is CatCon is a real deal. Susan's trying hard to be funny, but I think what you're not doing is telling people what an awesome
I'm going to cut to the chase here.
Look, yes,
I
will say this.
I'm literally going to cut to the chase.
I will say this, that when she came in, I told her I was not ready for any of her S.
Uh-huh.
So maybe I'm torturing her unnecessarily.
Okay.
So go ahead and speak.
Okay. When is it?
CatCon is June 29th and 30th. CatCon has been dubbed Comic-Con for cat people.
Yes.
And so what that means is it's where cat culture meets pop culture. So there's everything from experiences, selfie moments, free swag, adoptable kitties, Paradise City, as I was saying before I was so rudely interrupted. Paradise City is included in the price of admission, and mm-hmm. what it is this 5,000 square foot experience. There's six different rooms where you can go and discover the origins of the cat meme, which happened at the turn of the 19th century, not in 2006. There is a complete house of kitty kitsch designed specifically for Kevin. There are optical illusion funhouse mirrors with cat words popping up all around you. And then there's an...
Hold on. So there's a funhouse mirrors with cat words popping up?
Well, it's sort of funhouse mirrors. When you step into it, Kevin, there are words that represent you will pop around, like Meowtastic and Catstravaganza.
Everything you love about CatCon right there.
Radical.
Kevin. And lots of photo opportunities with famous cats and whatnot.
Yes, yes.
And obviously merchandise you can buy and things that you can buy for your pet, for food, for playing
with. Have you had dogs yet?
DogCon. I also run DogCon, and that is coming. But
no
you
kidding.
Know what? We're going to talk about CatCon right now because, okay. You know.
Here's the here's the website if you want to check it out. It's catconworldwide.com. Next weekend at the Pasadena Convention Center, tickets are available online right now. It's a huge event. You'll have a lot of fun. And be sure to look for Susan and make awful puns at her because she loves it.
I feel like she's been a formidable.
I'm trying to be. No. I'm trying to turn Kevin into a glamour puss, but he just won't take it.
I can't.
Are
I
you
just...
feline groovy today?
It's not stopping.
It's not you. I hate puns.
And you don't really have.
I hate it when Bean does it. I hate it when Allie does it.
He does.
I rarely do it because I hate it. Rare. It's not you. No, we're not rare.
Can I add a couple of other things?
Sure.
We're actually out of time. We really are out of time.
Only if they're puns.
We're out of time.
One more thing.
$1 of every ticket goes to charity. Our adoption group is Best Friends Animal Society. We've gotten 504 cats adopted to date and raised $200,000 for animal charity.
Amazing. Maybe lead with that. Honestly, that's amazing. That's the one thing I can get behind.
Thank you, Susan.
I applaud you.
Thank you,
wow,
Kevin.
Wow, the angriest I applaud you ever.
Wah, wah, wah.
I hate that I have to applaud her.
I applaud you.
So we want people to come down, have a good time,
right,
and know that their money is also going to benefit animals and needs, cats
That's
and
fantastic.
Dogs.
I love it.
All right. Thank you for coming in. We had a good time.
Bye-bye.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock. K-Rock. K-R-O-Q.
We do it every week at this time. Text your 100 at 1-800-520-1067. Gets to keep it 100.
I got to keep it 100.
Keep it 100, baby.
Keep it 100.
I keep it 100.
I keep it 100.
All right, let's take a look at what we got today. Text number 99 is from New York City. Simon weighs in with any Silverchair song, first choice Anna's song. That was a good band out of Australia from a few years ago. Texture 101 was from Santa Fe Springs. It was PETA who was looking for Phantom Limb by the Shins, which I wouldn't hate, but there can only be one Texture 100, and I believe that person is calling from the 714, and it is Amber from Anaheim. Amber, what's up?
Hello, just hanging out and enjoying breakfast.
Well, first of all, what are you having, and how's the toast where you're at?
It is Texas toast, and it's delicious.
Oh, Texas toast.
Boy,
nice.
Bean has said many times that, and I can't imagine that this is true, but that toast is his favorite food.
It is my favorite food, and I do not allow Texas toast.
Is it the thickness?
Well, it's partly that. I don't know, but I want the clip. I feel like it's fake toast. I feel like it's something that's pretending to be toast, but
she's enjoying her toast. Let Amber have her toast.
Amber, what say you? Counterpoint.
Texas toast is delicious.
Boom!
Okay. Suck it,
Look,
Bean.
I mean, if you want to have an inferior product, go ahead, I say, but it's not as pure as the real toast. All right, so it's the first Friday of summer. We're delighted to have you, Amber. How did you select the song that you picked for Keep It 100 this week?
It was one of my favorite bands, and you don't play enough of it, so I figured why not?
All right, you want to introduce it to the K-Rock audience?
It's Korn's Freak on a Leash.
Oh, the remix. Oh, nice work.
I don't know that that's needed.
Amber in Anaheim, enjoy your terrible toast, but thank you for making the suggestion of Keep
Texas
It 100.
Toast.
That is Freak on a Leash by Korn. Allie, you remember that song. You were a big K-Rock listener at the time.
Yeah.
What year was K-Rock playing the hell out of Freak on a Leash?
That was the late 90s.
Okay.
And I would say it was 98 or 99.
Okay. All right. Getting closer now, narrowing it down.
I will definitely say it really hit its stride in 99.
You are correct. In fact, you were dead on because the album came out in 98. The single was released May 25th, 1999.
Yep. May.
Yeah, I know she says. So, well done you. Thanks again, Amber. We'll do it again next Friday here on K-Rock.
Keep it 100.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
K-Rock.
Should we start now? Let it end? What are your thoughts?
It's over now.
I will tell you this. We don't have time for the moment with
me. Oh, no. We got a lot of requests.
No, because
for
we played the song right to the end.
Right.
So
no.
Yeah.
Nothing
but
time. Allie, would you give up a little bit of your time for
a moment?
I'll
give up all the time.
A moment with Bean that happened today.
And now, a moment with Bean.
There's a trucker trying to make it from, you know, from Fargo to a city in Michigan. Or wherever.
Wherever he's going. I don't know where he's going. I haven't seen the manifest.
I mean, your shift is going to go great if that's any.
I feel like I shouldn't have been able to come up with any other city.
That was a moment with me.
Look, I came up with Michigan, okay? That's something.
It's good.
At least I gave the truck driver somewhere to go, okay?
You're right.
That's a great city.
Okay.
938.
What?
Of all people.
He's enjoying this, isn't he? Time for a final look at what's happening here on the first Friday of summer. Make it fun, Allie.
I mean, 2 years in a row, we ask Kevin where the highest concentration of Irish people in the United States were.
Mm-hmm.
Not 1 year did you just say Boston. But the second year, you also said Boston.
This moment has both of those in it?
Okay, let's listen.
Here we go.
And now, it's time for a moment with Kevin.
You know what state in the union of these great United States of ours has the most Irish Americans in it?
Boston.
That's not a state. The next year.
You know what state has the largest number of Irish Americans in it in these United States?
Boston.
I would say
Massachusetts.
That was a moment with Kevin.
And I'm going to tell you this.
Uh-huh.
Wasn't doing it to be funny.
Nope.
Was just 100% meant it both times.
You caught yourself.
So
amazing.
That's a thing.
Yeah. People get really upset because now your vacation seems to always fall during St. Patrick's Day time.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not here because people really think if we ask you again, it's going to happen.
It probably would.
Maybe.
And I'm not proud of that.
All right. You guys know Justin Bieber's manager, Scooter Braun?
Yes.
I know of him, yeah.
Yeah, celebrated
He became very, very famous representing Justin and others.
Yeah, celebrated his 38th birthday, and Justin Bieber gifted his longtime manager a framed shirtless photo of himself with his hands down his pants.
No.
Okay, was he being funny? Do we know?
The Biebs presented the racy piece of art at Braun's Starry Bash in West Hollywood this week. In the picture, Bieber shows off his half-naked tattooed body as he stuffs one hand down his Calvin Klein undies and the other in his jean pocket. Luckily, he was staying warm with a little beanie on his head, so everything was fine. He captioned the masterpiece, "Happy birthday, Scooter. You're welcome. I'm awesome." Which
I'm not a big fan of his.
Kind of respect.
That's pretty great.
Can you imagine giving anyone a framed shirtless photo of yourself and being like, "You're welcome.
That's pretty funny.
Have a good one. I enjoyed that story so much." How much do you wish he had that picture, Bean?
Not at all, please.
Come on.
Not at all.
Right? A little bit?
He's a mess now, Justin.
What do you mean? Just because he has longer hair and isn't like posing shirtless?
No. I'm just saying, he doesn't look well groomed or well kept these days. You know what I mean? He's let himself go, I guess is what I'm saying. Justin has.
You're insane.
Okay, and you're worried about him?
No, I'm not worried at all. Okay. But Allie was just asking if I wish I had that photo. No, I don't. There's nothing that's appealing about Justin Bieber anymore.
But if he took care of himself, then you want the photo.
If he cleaned up, sure, I'm down.
Right.
Sure.
All right.
So my man Tidy.
Okay. We had David Tennant on a couple weeks ago talking about his new show with Michael Sheen.
He's delightful.
Oh, amazing.
Really
the
is.
Show is so funny. It's called Good Omens, getting great reviews. It's an amazing show that has to do a little bit with religion. Follows an angel and a demon working together to prevent the apocalypse. What's not to love, right?
Jesus.
Well, if you're in a religious group called Return to Order, you have orchestrated a petition to protest what it calls the show's attempt to make Satanism appear normal, light, and acceptable. About 20,000 people have signed this petition demanding that Netflix cancel this show released last month. No more. Just take it off of Netflix. We don't want to see any more of this. Get it off now.
Is it, do you think it's possible for them to just not watch that?
Yes. I also think it's very possible that nobody has seen it since it's actually on Amazon Prime. I feel like if you're leading a charge against something,
that's
do
a hell of
research.
A petition.
So hell of a petition to get it off of Netflix. And yesterday, the official Twitter for Netflix UK responded with, "Okay, we promise not to make any more." I love so very much.
That's clever. So their problem with normalizing Satan is that we, the viewer, will look at that show and go, "You know what? Satan's actually okay.
Not only is he not bad, he's kind of cool.
Dude, yeah, hail Satan." And all of a sudden,
great sense of humor. And
yeah, then we're Satanists.
Yeah. Yeah, or we're just like, oh, hell doesn't sound that bad, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I didn't realize that had a legitimate concern.
Yeah, absolutely. Guys, J.J. Abrams is writing a Spider-Man comic with his son, Henry. The five-part series will introduce a new villain, Cadaverous. Okay.
All right.
It's going to be drawn by Sarah Pichelli, who previously illustrated the Miles Morales version of Spider-Man, which was incredible.
Yeah.
And Abrams teased that the story shows Peter Parker in a way you haven't seen him before.
Naked, with his hand down his face?
Uh-huh.
Pants? Did I say face down his pants? I said face.
Do you want to give it another go?
Excuse myself?
Just get out of here? Okay.
I thought that's...
And now, it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Come on!
Yeah. Okay. It's true. Yep. I'll just do one more story. Spider-Man Far From Home with Tom Holland and Jake Gyllenhaal is opening on July 2nd. And Tom Holland has revealed that he loves all creatures except, ironically, spiders.
Oh,
and he said,
no.
Every thing. He goes on interviews and people are always like, "Hey, here's this spider. You want to hold it?" And he's like, "No.
What?
No, I don't."
Why
really.
Would an interviewer do that?
People are pretty insane.
Okay.
But this sweet Tom Holland, who, by the way, since 2017 have been saying, well, you know, him and Zendaya are in a relationship. They keep it pretty down low. He said in this interview, they're just friends, nothing more, despite those persistent rumors. He's not romantically involved with anyone at the moment, but is, quote, definitely a relationship person. I'm not the fleeting type at all. It's not my way of life.
He's definitely doing it with Zendaya.
100%.
Yeah, that's way down low.
Come on, dude.
For sure.
Ugh.
Yep.
All right, we had Tony Halen talking about, of course, Pixar and Disney's Toy Story 4, which came out last night. How much did it make last night, did you say?
$12
million. $12
million
on
a Thursday night.
Not bad. I had friends that saw it last night and said, these are people that love the Toy Story franchise, said it is my favorite of the series, and I'm seeing it again tomorrow.
Wow.
It's like, you nerds, all right. But they hope to see the film debut at $150 million to $200 million in North America alone. Mm. By the way, Toy Story 3 crossed the $1 billion mark 9 years ago. So it's a good franchise.
Pretty decent franchise.
Yeah.
Their batting average is amazing.
Unbelievable.
It is, yeah.
Unbelievable.
I haven't seen any of the Toy Story movies, of course.
Oh, they're such a delight, Bean.
But if I were going to watch an animated franchise, it sounds like Toy Story is the one to get into.
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, every one
of
them
a plug.
Is... I've been saying every one of them is a you know, 100 or close to it on Rotten Tomatoes. Like, nobody ever doesn't love Toy Story.
Oh, Disney Pixar is on the phone. They want to use you for ads.
Yep.
Really nailed
that. If I were going to see a Pixar movie, it would be one of the Toy Stories. That's my quote.
Woo. Yes.
Right?
Please.
Absolutely. Happy birthday, Chris Pratt, Brandon Flowers, Rebecca Black, Prince William, the Duke of Cambridge, Juliette Lewis, and Miss Lana Del Rey.
Obviously.
And that's what's happening.
Thank you, Ellie. The SoCal Hopeful Honda Dealers are heading. You heard me. SoCal Hopeful Honda Dealers are heading at random acts of helpfulness. We all win with Stryker and Klein's commercial free-for-all during your drive home today on K-Rock.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Anal.
Roll another one.
I think you've wandered into a dark place.
Just like the other one.
I'm afraid I don't understand.
This one seems to be about quit.
Help me, I need a Lamborghini.
And I need another hit.
What is your dad and whatnot think about all this? Because I'm sure that he's an athlete. Is he an athlete, your dad?
Yeah, my dad was an athlete, but now he's pretty fat.
It was all good knee-slapping fun.
I have never been more proud of a team than I am right now. You be proud of yourselves, because, gentlemen, you are champions.
Every blessing, bang, bang.
How are you going to celebrate tonight?
I probably have a Jägermeister.
Do me a favor, will you? Disappear. Come on, girls.
Bong, bong. Boom, boom. Boom, boom. Boom, boom. Boom, boom. Boom.
Love you. Peace.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show, K-Rock.
There's a trucker trying to make it from, you know, from Fargo to a city in Michigan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.